This is Dave Bayless for Human Scale Business. I'm speaking with Ryan Barr, founder of Whipping Post, about learning what it takes to be successful in business. So Ryan, tell me what Whipping Post is all about. What do you do? What do you make? And to whom do you sell your products?
Yeah, so Whipping Post was started about 5 years ago, and we started in a small niche. I was a guitar player, and we're making basically leather goods, straps, wallets that cater to guitar players. And as time has gone on, I've kind of broadened the product line where it's become more of a total carry goods lifestyle brand. We make bags, weekender tote bags, messenger bags, some other things. And we're online. We're 100% e-commerce, direct to consumer, and hoping to kind of expand the breadth of that line as time goes on as well.
So what was the impetus for starting the business? What was it about being a guitarist who had a vision for leather goods really put you into motion to create a company?
To be honest, it was sort of out of necessity. I mean, my story goes back. I don't have a background in business in any sense. I was an education major in college, and I taught for a little bit. And then I sort of bounced out of that into a more corporate role, kind of sales role. And I was really unfulfilled in that setting. And I realized I didn't really have the education or the work background to kind of go in a direction, a more creative direction that I wanted to go in. I don't think anyone would hire me with my credentials. So I started to just try to learn about business and read books and websites on starting small businesses. And a lot of what I saw was about looking for a niche, you know, going for a small market to get into. And I was a guitar player and I had this kind of interest in design. So I thought that would be as good a place as any to start. So it was not something that had been burning in me since childhood, but I kind of landed there and it's ended up working out.
So guitar straps was an early project of yours, I understand. What angle did you take to create something new in the world of guitar straps?
Yeah, well, with straps, not my first actual product that really hit. I mean, that was where I began, a starting point, but it was actually a guitar pick wallet, which I noticed through years of playing that a lot of myself and some of the guitar players would jam a pick in between their credit cards or their wallet, and just to have, because a lot of times you lose them or you come across a guitar and there's no pick around, and it's just a handy thing to have. So I made a wallet with a dedicated spot for guitar pick, and it was kind of kitschy, but it really caught on. That's when I've kind of harnessed the power of the internet for the first time, because there's a lot of blogs and sites that want new content or something interesting and different to talk about. And when I did that, something that was a great gift idea and something that no one had really done, at least not that I had seen before, that's when things really kicked off. And, you know, people posted on blogs and it got reposted. And I made 50 my first round, not knowing if anyone would buy them. And we got featured on a big, heavily trafficked website. And they were gone within, I think, 30 minutes. And I just kept selling them. I said, I'll figure out the back order later. I was just so happy to be selling something. But that's kind of the beginning of things, how it got kicked off.
And how long were you in business before you had that particular break?
I think that was it was probably a few months, maybe 3 or 4 months of just kind of trudging along and, you know, trying to get exposure where I could, a sale here, sale there. But that's when I started to get real momentum.
So you've been at it for years. So something has worked beyond the pick wallet, apparently. Tell me about how things have evolved and what are the elements of building and growing Whipping Post are particularly exciting to you and keep getting you up in the morning.
Yeah, so it has evolved, and I haven't had a grand plan for things. It's been more so, well, let's try something else that I'm interested in and see if people will go for it. So after making the more guitar-focused things, I said, well, I would like to have a nice messenger bag. I have the capability of making this. Let's make a few and send it out to my email list and see if people will buy it. And that's sort of how I've approached every product extension. From here out is just, let's give it a shot. And if it catches on, great. If not, no big deal. We could just discontinue it. So once I got buy-in on that, the messenger bag did well. It really gave me license to try a lot of different things. And I've continued to do that. What excites me, to the other part of your question, is just learning how to make new things and learning about materials and the process of designing and putting together new products and photographing them and then pushing them out to this mailing list is really satisfying for me. So the process of creating is really fun. So I don't think I'd want to hammer out one widget and sell a million of them, the same thing over and over again. Part of it is trying to come up with new things and improve on old things as well. So I'm continuing to try to expand the line, looking at doing some other things, learning how to make things, and really just enjoying the whole process. It's a lot more fun now with a little bit of cash flow, whereas in years past, where it's you make one thing and then you can buy two things, and it was a little more challenging as far as raw materials and developing products. So we're in a much better spot now.
Tell me a little bit more about some of the struggles that you've overcome in the last few years. It sounds like you found a gratifyingly hot product fairly early in your business life, but I know these things don't just go in a straight line. There's dips and meandering along the way. What have you wrestled with?
Yeah, so I've wrestled with just about probably everything, because it's really learning. It was so primitive in the beginning that I almost have to laugh. I just, when I first got those orders in, when I got, 50 or so more orders in one day, I mean, prior to that, I was, all right, an order came in and I would hand write a label and go through all the shipping and tape it to an envelope. So just the most basic operational things, kind of learn from scratch. It's been a struggle to learn all those things. Like I said, not coming from a business background, and also the financial constraints of bootstrapping. So, I mean, we got some traction, yeah, with the wallets, but I think that was like a $30 price point at the time. So it wasn't like cash was raining down upon me and I could all of a sudden prototype tons of things and take on a lot of inventory. So yeah, bootstrapping can be difficult, but it provided me the space to learn what I needed to learn along this journey. So I think if someone came to me 4 years ago with $1 million of capital, I wouldn't know what to do with it, or I would squander it just because I was so green at the time. So it has been challenging along the way, learning all these processes from scratch, but I will say it's been a great education. It's allowed me to grow in a way that that suited me.
You've obviously learned lots of different things. It sounds like you didn't have, in addition not to necessarily having a business background, you didn't have a design background or a marketing background or an e-commerce background. So you've been climbing a lot of learning curves simultaneously. Has there been any one area in particular that you found either challenging or just harder to learn about than the others?
Absolutely. The financial, and I think this is probably a similar story for a lot of creative people who are getting to business, is I don't want to spend any time in Excel or like looking at a cash flow, like understanding cash flow. Like for me, even if I had, say, terms with a manufacturer at the front, I just didn't even want to think about it. I'd say, you know what? I'd rather just pay you for the whole thing now and I don't even need to think about it. So that was how limited I was. And just not even not knowing financial or understanding the piece of it, just not even wanting to really explore it, because you're so caught up and inspired by the details of wanting to put out a great product and do these other things. Whereas it's something you can't neglect, which I've learned over time, and I've gotten better and much savvier with it. But it would have been much more helpful to be able to embrace that early on, for sure.
Why do you think that is? I've run into creative people, designers, artists who express similar, almost dread of the financial aspects of their business. In some cases, it seemed to me that there's a tendency to view finance as a source of constraint rather than an enabler. Why do you think that for you, it was such kind of a room that you didn't want to go into?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think inherently, I just numbers and formulas just are very, I get confused by those things. It's something I never gravitated towards even in high school. But I think also we might be afraid to uncover what's there or what rabbit holes we'll go down once we look and see, I don't know, oh, actually, our shipping costs on this is this, and it's just a whole other thing. So I think it's probably like with a lot of people in personal finance who, you know, have debt or something like that, and they don't even want to look under the hood to see what's down there because it just seems so daunting because there's so many moving pieces there. But it's a necessity and it's something that I've adapted to over time. I will say the one thing that served me along the way is what I lacked in financial knowledge. I also, at the same time, had a conservatism to me where I've kept expenses low and have been very thrifty along the way. So there might have been times where I could have made better use of my cash, taking on more inventory or marketing better, or starting to pay myself maybe before the 2-year mark, which I didn't do. So it's sort of worked out along the way, but things would have been much better and I could have grown faster and done much better for myself if I would have embraced that more early on.
Well, let's flip back over to the sunny side of the street. Tell me about the achievements that you've reached thus far with Whipping Post that give you the greatest satisfaction. What are you most pleased about?
Most of all, Dave, it's just when I started and going back to a darker place, first, just a second, we've come so far. And there was a point, you know, 5-6 years ago when I was in a career where I just didn't know how to pivot. So I was in a job, I'd been in a couple different career paths and they weren't working out and it felt very dead end-ish. And even starting a business seemed so improbable. So to get to the point where I'm making a nice, comfortable living and have employees working for me and contractors and have had thousands of customers now that really like the product. I mean, that alone has been one of the more valuable experiences in my life. Now, there's been some other great things. Like we've been in a lot of had a lot of great press. We've been in Entrepreneur Magazine and Esquire Magazine and lots of websites. And that stuff's fantastic as well. It's always nice to have that pat on the back. But I think just the journey so far from starting something from scratch with an idea and see it come to fruition and begin to thrive has been really valuable to me.
One of the real challenges and opportunities for a human scale business is the necessity to learn lots of new skills. We start off often by ourselves as solo artists and start building our team as we go. You've talked about some of the skills and capabilities you've developed. What are the ones that you think have advanced the farthest and the most productively as far as your personal satisfaction and your company's success goes?
Yeah, I think just being able to see the business from a 30,000 foot view and see where it's going and be able to put the teams in place, contractors wise or employees wise, to grow something. So, because so often in the beginning as solo entrepreneurs, we're looking at what's right in front of us. So for a few years, it was the next label I'm printing off, you know, are we out of tape? this is going weird on the website. I have this customer service issue that I need to deal with. But now being able to step back further and further to focus on vision. So being able to, okay, forecast sales, we're going to need another customer service person in place. We're going to need more raw materials. So just adjusting knobs here and there to be able to accommodate that growth is something that I just would never have had the skill set to do a few years ago, or the resources or the network. So it's been validating to be able to get deeper into this and start to feel like, okay, maybe I kind of know what I'm doing at this point. I won't say that I'm totally competent at this point, but I feel much more at ease with the business and my confidence overall has just been really growing, especially in the last couple of years.
You know, one of the experiences that I've had with a product business early on, you know, very involved in the product design and the early manufacturing to the point where I was doing a lot of manufacturing myself, you know, on the production line. It wasn't because I was the best maker at all, but what I did find is that by going through that sort of staged iterative bootstrap build-up approach, I got a lot better insight into what actually went into the product and how it could be made and the materials, which made me a lot more useful to the people on the factory floor. I could speak to them not with anywhere close to the expertise that they had, but I was able to speak in a lot more informed fashion. And I think in some ways was able to help identify opportunities, for example, you know, changing an aspect of the design that aided in the manufacturing process, for instance, than I would have ever had if I'd just taken kind of an academic 20,000 foot view. Do you feel the same way? Is it worthwhile doing things on your own for a while?
I think so. I mean, I can't overstate the value of, I mean, well, one, I haven't done it any other way, but I think knowing your business inside and out, doing everything to start, can be really advantageous. And it's an education that I think it's tough to overstate the value of that, because like you said, you're able to approach problems differently and from a different perspective. And once you know what's going on somewhere, I think you can troubleshoot things much better. And just collaborating with those people brings a different sort of value to other aspects of the business. So, you know, as much as I try to take myself more out of whether it be manufacturing or design or marketing, I'm still very involved in those and know what's going on, because it just brings so much back to the business and my knowledge and it helps me grow. So yeah, I would totally agree with you there.
One of the things my business partner, Laura Black, and I are advocates of is what we call business education for the rest of us. In our experience, most what passes as business education is really aimed at people that are going to be employed by somebody else in an established environment. And that has its function and its role and its value in those situations. But I think it tends to cause people to view business in a very fragmented, disconnected way. You know, people in accounting don't understand what's happening in design or, you know, manufacturing and how it's related to finance and vice versa. And I think there's a really important value in understanding those interrelationships. I think it yields a lot better decision making. I think it's a lot more gratifying personally. And what I had to do, because I did come from a more classical business background, is unlearn a lot of the things that I thought I knew. I found the people that really helped me understand the kinds of business I'm most interested in were industrial designers and engineers and musicians and artists and scientists, because they seem to be a lot more adept at learning, you know, experimenting in a systematic way and adding an element of playfulness to the process. You know, you didn't have to know everything, you know, all up front. You didn't have to map the straight line. The people that we work with and aspire to be helpful to really have a lot to teach the rest of the business world, maybe precisely because they aren't constrained by the dogma of classical business educations.
There's some, and I don't want to disparage classical business education at all, but I think there's some virtue to starting, having the humility when you're beginning to learn from everyone, so you can learn from these designers and manufacturers. There's so many great resources out there and people that you can find to work with that can teach you so much. So I've really tried to be like a sponge, and starting from zero, I really had no choice to, but I think it's really served me well, because I've really taken it upon these people to teach me as I go, as I start something new. So whether it be logistics or talking to tanneries about materials, it's been really rewarding.
Ryan, where do you go from here with Whipping Post? What are the challenges that you foresee coming in the next few years?
I want to continue to expand the product line and going into some things that are still challenging. I think how to continue to grow past just being a small company with a handful of people helping out to a sort of a next level brand that manufactures lots of different products. So I'm figuring out how to do that as a small bootstrap company that isn't backed by any sort of financing or anything like that. And contending also with being a naturally conservative person who hasn't ever really borrowed money or done anything like that. So it's challenging for sure to try to do that, because you want to grow, but at the same time, you're constrained by how much you can sell and profit to put back in. So I think those are the real challenges right now, but I would say there's really a lot of upside right now for small brands in the e-commerce. It's direct to consumer. There's a lot of people hopping in right now, but I think there's a real hunger for it. It's not as easy as it used to be, where you could just throw some stuff on Amazon or resell. But if you're passionate about getting good products out there and connecting with customers and trying to offer a really good experience, potential is sort of unlimited. So I'm excited about that, trying to step up the game, better products, better service for people, and just an overall better brand. So we'll hope it continues to move in that direction.
The last question, how do you keep your business human?
Well, I think it's thinking about the totality of things, whether it be when I think about my day-to-day, so I think about my employees, my contractors that work for me, and the customers. So it's really only a win for me if everyone feels good. So the people who work for me, do they enjoy working for me? Do they like their job? Do they feel like they're compensated properly? Do they feel like they can be creative and have autonomy? That's important to me. And with the customers, so looking at their experience, is it, I don't want it to be just transactional, like maybe an Amazon. Do they feel like the touch points are right? When they write into customer service, do they feel they're being listened to? When they make product suggestions, do they feel listened to? So looking at it from this 30,000 foot view and everyone that has a hand in the business, I try to keep it human that way. I don't know if I always succeed, but it's always in the back of my mind. I hope that we're always moving in that direction.